want to ask you to pray for me as I try to express tonight the thoughts that God has placed upon my heart. I want to begin with a scripture reading found in the 9th chapter of Romans, Romans chapter 9, and I want to begin reading just a few verses, beginning with verse 1, and then I want to go over and read a few verses in the beginning of the 10th chapter as well. I'd like to speak tonight about being concerned, having a concern for souls, and a desire to see people saved. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to think about the great need that you have to be concerned about your soul and to desire salvation. Listen, the Lord never saved anybody that didn't want it. That's not something that God forces. But in Romans chapter 9, and I'll tell you what, I really believe, I don't know how everybody views these verses, but I really believe if you want a good scriptural explanation of what it means to be burdened for lost people, I believe these verses explain it to us very well. Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 1, Paul said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart." Well, why do you have that, Paul? He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for the seed." And after reading those 8 verses again, I want to call your attention to a few verses found in the 10th chapter of Romans. And the Apostle Paul continues here to express his thoughts concerning these people. And here he just really lays it out what is on his heart. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." A lot of people like that in the world today. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And I'm going to stop with those 4 verses. I want you to remember what the Apostle Paul expressed here concerning Israel, concerning the Israelites, that he said that he had great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart. I want you to hang on to that. I want to begin with this, that we know that God is certainly concerned about souls. And we know that God has a great desire for people to come to Him and to meet His terms, to meet His conditions. Listen, when we talk about concern and desire, there's nobody that's as concerned about the souls of people as God Himself. The Bible tells us this, as we think about God's desire and God's concerns, the Scriptures tell us that in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, in verse 16, that God loved this world, that is the human family. God loved the inhabitants of this world so much and had such a great desire for them to have the gift of eternal life that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Scriptures go on in that chapter and they tell us that God sent His Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. If we look in the Apostle Paul's first epistle to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul mentions God's desire toward the souls of people. He said that He would not have that He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said in the 9th chapter of Matthew, we find this verse, I believe, about verse 13. Jesus said, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's a good thing, isn't it? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so it's a good thing for us that Jesus came to this world to call sinners to repentance. He also said that He came here not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for our sins. How concerned was the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, He was concerned enough to come to this land of sin, this world of sin, and to give His life as a ransom for us. The Scriptures tell us, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." How much did Jesus love us? How great did He desire the salvation of souls? Well, He was willing to leave behind the glory of heaven. He was willing to leave behind the glory that He had with the Father and come into this world and take upon Himself the form of flesh, and being found in fashion as a man, to humble Himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to die for the sins of the whole human race. You think He doesn't want people to come to Him? The Scriptures also tell us, we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter there was writing about the coming of the Lord. He said, he talked about how in the last days there were going to be scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, "Where's the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were, even unto this day." In other words, we've heard this stuff all our life. We've heard this for years about the Lord coming back. And where is He? We haven't seen Him. Scoffers There's still scoffers today, isn't there? But the Apostle Peter said, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise. Jesus promised his return, didn't he? He promised it. If you look in John chapter 14, you'll find record of that promise. He told his disciples before he left. He said, I am going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself. He promised that he would be back. That promise it was renewed to them. There we read about in the first chapter of Acts that as they watched him ascend back to heaven, that there were two angels that appeared to them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus which is taken from you shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go. He's coming back, folks. He's coming back. The Apostle Peter said he's not slack concerning that promise. He's going to keep that promise. If you look in the 10th verse, the first thing that you read in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 is, but the day of the Lord will come. And it will. But the Apostle Peter said that he's not slack concerning his promise, but he's long-suffering to usward. Why? This is a wicked world, isn't it? And it seems that people just love sin more and more all the time. And so why hasn't the Lord come back? Why hasn't he already returned? Why hasn't he already come and taken us out of this place? And taken his children home to be with him and brought destruction upon this world and destroyed it. Why hasn't he done that? Well, the only reason I know is he's long-suffering because he don't want anybody to perish. He would have all to come to repentance. Listen, there's not anything necessary for the salvation of souls that the Lord didn't take care of. He did everything necessary for people to be saved. And it was all done because of the love that he had for this lost and ruined race. He sent his son to die for our sins. He left his church here in the world. Listen, we see concern if we look in the gospel according to Mark in chapter 16, I believe, verse 15. We see the Lord's concern for those who are lost and in their sins in him telling his church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Why did he commission that to be done? So that people would know what they must do in order to be saved. You know, Paul here, he was really concerned. Listen, I may ask the question today, as God's people, how concerned are we? How concerned are we about this lost world around us? And, you know, we can say, I'm concerned. Yeah, I want to see people saved. I mean, we're here tonight, aren't we? Well, why don't we look at it in the light of what Paul said here? Paul said, I'm tore up. I'm tore up over this. I'm so troubled over this. My heart is so heavy about this. You know, I'm afraid that oftentimes the last thing that we have on our mind is the salvation of souls. We are thinking too much about the temporal things of this life and we allow the devil to just completely distract us from what really is important. Folks, listen, there are people around us every day. They're on their way to eternal damnation. They're on their way to eternal separation from God. They're on their way to eternal hell and destruction. And listen, you know, how often do we say, well, I just don't understand why those lost people are not concerned. Listen, I'll tell you what, we ought to be asking the question, why are we so unconcerned about them? I believe this. I really do. I tell people this and I believe it. I believe that salvation is between them and the Lord. I do. I believe they're going to have to look to Him in order to be saved. God's going to have to hear their cry. He's going to have to accept their repentance. They're going to have to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. I believe all that. I know that you believe all that. But I'm going to tell you something else I believe. I believe that the concern upon the hearts of lost people to be saved will be greatly affected by the concern that we have as God's people to see them saved. I witnessed that, and I've shared that with this church here many times. I witnessed that, thank God, in my youth. Because I was blessed in my early teenage years. I was blessed for a time to be among people that I believe their burden, to a great extent anyway, could be described the way that Paul talked about his kinsmen here according to the flesh. Their hearts were heavy. They had a genuine concern. And I remember sitting in the assembly of the saints many times. The preacher, he would be up there and he would preach and maybe his sermon would be over. And the Lord would begin to move the people. And they would, you know, listen, if the preacher stood up there and preached about how the Lord was going to return one day and those that he found lost and in their sins, that it was going to be too late for them. It wouldn't only affect the lost people. It would affect the saved people too. I remember many times those old saints, and I remember particularly some old sisters in the church, they would come to me and they would just be beside themselves. They would be so concerned about my soul that they didn't care what I thought about them. I had them many times come and just weep all over me. I'd be sitting there in the pew and they just have their hands on my shoulder and just weeping all over me and pleading with me with broken voices to come to the Lord. And it would just tear me all to pieces. I knew that they were genuinely concerned about my lost soul. And I'll tell you what, it had an effect upon me. And you know, listen, I believe that in this world, in the time that we live in today, in 2017, when sin is running wild, when there are things happening in this nation that you and I never thought we would ever face, I believe even in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation. Listen, I know this, God is still on the throne, and I believe true, genuine love and concern for lost souls will still affect them if we really have it. It will still have its effect upon them. Can you just imagine? Well, how burdened was Paul? I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for the benefit of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I could wish that my own standing with Christ would be accursed. That's a great heaviness, and that's a great sorrow, and that's a great burden that he had in his heart. My prayer to God, my heart's desire, and my prayer to God for Israel is what? That they might be saved. How long has it been? How long has it been since you've witnessed God's people at an altar really tore up? I mean, broken because of a genuine concern about lost and perishing souls. How long has it been since we've been in that state? You can think what you want to. I don't think we're there. I believe we're cold. I believe there's indifference in our hearts. I believe that we are too concerned about things that don't make any difference. I believe we're too concerned about worldly things, and it's choking us spiritually. You know what? If we're going to see revival, it's going to have to be preceded by repentance among the saints. It always has been. You can read it in history. It's right there. We got to get ourselves out of the way. We've got to get right with God. Listen, revival is for us. We've got to get revived. You don't revive sinners. They need to be saved. Revival needs to come upon us to where we have a desire. I mean a true desire and a true burden. Just think about it. When's the last time you laid down and couldn't sleep because you were so concerned about a lost soul? When's the last time your appetite left you because you had great heaviness in your heart about those who are lost? When's the last time that you could say what Paul said about these people around you that don't know the Lord, that they are causing a great heaviness and a continual pain in my heart because they're lost, because they're separated from God? I said this before. We question why the Word of God does not affect, why it just doesn't seem to affect the lost world. Well, why doesn't it seem to affect us? Why doesn't it seem to stir us? I mean, do we really expect that it will stir and affect them if it doesn't even do that to the saints? Paul was burdened. I believe that this is a burden when you have great heaviness in your heart, when you have great sorrow in your heart, when you'd rather see somebody saved than anything, when we get hungry for revival, when we get hungry for the conversion of souls, when we begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said those are the ones that will be filled. How about you, lost friend? Do you want to be saved? You know, there's got to be concern in your heart too. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget. I've shared this before with all of you. I believe I was 18 when I got saved. And I'll never forget, just before the Lord saved me, I reached the point that that's all that I was concerned about. I mean, there wasn't anything else on my mind. There wasn't anything else on my heart. I wasn't thinking about anything else. God got me to the point that all I wanted, I didn't care what happened in the world, all I wanted was to be saved. It had me consumed. And that's when I got it. When I desired that with all my heart, God heard my prayer and saved me from my sins. I'm done. I've shared with you tonight the things that God had placed upon my heart. I hope it helps. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We really should. We ought to be ashamed that we're not more in touch and in tune with God than what we are, and more burdened than what we are. You know what? I told the church this not too long ago. I was in Bowling Green, I think it might have been about 1984. I was down here, and one day I rode down Scottsville Road with a man that's here tonight, Brother Jerry Reynolds. I rode in his car with him down Scottsville Road, and he just out of nowhere, he said, "Brother Miller," he said, "you see those people going the other way in their cars?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You see these people going in and out of these stores?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know what? Most of them are probably on their way to hell." I remember that to this day. We don't always think that way, do we? But we should. People that we're around every day that are going about daily life, every day, we're in contact with people who are on their way to eternal damnation. And too often, we never share a thing with them about the Lord. Brother Strode, let's sing. Thank you.
Number 121. 121.